Hope you're glad to be in church. I am. Hope you're glad to be saved. Amen. I'm glad to be saved. It's great to be in church. We need this. We need to be together, right, as a family. We need the Word of God. We need to be preached at. And I'll ask you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The whole month is about ministry, about serving the Lord. I hope we take that seriously, how much we need to serve God. In this day and age, we need to serve God with a fervent spirit and with the right heart, because this world needs Christ, and Christians need to be built up to be good servants for the Lord. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20 and in verse 24. Message is just called Our Ministry. Our Ministry. As a church. Our Ministry. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, the Bible says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. May you just bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word to every heart. Nothing can be accomplished without you this morning, Lord. So I pray you'd open the hearts of each and every one of us. Teach us something today. Stir us up to be servants for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Paul makes it so personal, doesn't it? The ministry that he has and the race that he's running and the course that's set before him. Something like six or seven times you find these personal pronouns. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul made it very personal that I have a ministry. And every one of us can take this verse of Scripture and say the same thing that Paul's saying. You want to finish your course with joy. The course is the Christian life. And you also have a ministry that God wants you to serve in. He's given you that personally through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a ministry. But together, each one of us together have a ministry and are serving God. I want us to realize that we are a church body here. It's our ministry. This is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through us. It's our course and our ministry, and we serve together. We serve together with God in the ministry. This is His ministry. He's working through us as individuals. Now, we are running a race. Each one of us has a course that is set before us. I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We are running a race. It's laid out before us, the course that we're running. And in verse 24 of chapter 9 in 1 Corinthians, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man striveth for the mastery, that striveth for the mastery, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." So each one of us have a race before us. It's the Christian life. Paul's referring to our Christian life that you live every day. Is your course, your race, is the Christian life. But in that race, you have a ministry to perform. You have a ministry that's been given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's referring to what took place there in Greece during those times in Corinth, where the church of Corinth was, in the city of Corinth. They would have the games every so many years. There would be the like an Olympic Games. And all the people would run in the race that were competing. But only one would receive the prize. Only one would get the wreath on the head. And the one that would box or the one that would wrestle. Only one could actually win the prize. But not with us in the Christian race, in the Christian life. I'm not running against Kathy, and I'm not running against you, Leo. I'm running towards the prize. That is to finish my course with joy. I'm not competing against you. You're not competing against me. We're running together, and my eyes are on the prize, so to speak. Jesus Christ, to finish my course with joy. So we all can win, but we have to run in the race. And we have to finish our course with joy and take care of the ministry that the Lord has given us. Don't think for one minute that whatever you're involved in, serving in this church isn't important. If you weren't there, who would be doing it? Each and every one of us are vital. It's like the cogs in a machine. When one's missing, it skips a gear. We need to be bound together in our ministry as a church. Don't walk around thinking that you're on your own, just doing your own thing. And I know you may not even have that in the front of your mind. We're all serving together. This is our ministry. And God's given you a course, a race to run, and He's also given you a ministry to perform in the church. We all have this course. We're all in the race. So ministry really is just something that we attend to. It's our service. It's something we put our mind to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of the Christian life. It's part of the race. So ministry is something that's given to us by the Lord. He has entrusted with you, Leo and Pat, the coffee ministry, of taking care of that, and Sunday school, and creche, and driving the bus, and all the other things that you do and serve in. He's entrusted you with that ministry, as if He would be doing the ministry Himself, Jesus Christ. He's left us to do that ministry for Him. We've been saved to serve. Amen. We have not been saved to sit and sour in our seats and just hear the preaching and go away unchanged. But every time the Word of God is preached, it is to cause us in our heart to say, what can I do for God? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. What can I do for the Lord? There's not one of us here that is underqualified to serve God. Every one of us can serve God. Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye're called. He's not talking to one individual. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. In chapter 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's talking to the whole church at Ephesus. So when we pull this from the Bible, this verse, he's speaking to all of us. He's saying, walk worthy of the vocation or the calling that God's called you to do, the service that He's called you to do. Ministry is for everyone. It's not just for some elite group. Certainly, there's no elitist in this church. Everybody's just trying to do their part and serve God together. Nobody stands out as any different. We just have different roles, different places where we serve. That's all. The creche, someone serving in the creche like Kemi and others, are just as important as the person preaching the Word of God. So we all need to work together. So we want to serve with the right attitude also. Look in verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness. We just need to do it humbly. We just need to be servants. I mean, Jesus bent down and washed the feet. He was just showing what real, true servanthood and humility can do. You know, and that's the way we need to serve each other. Just with meekness and lowliness of mind. Have the right attitude when you serve. Pride doesn't serve people. Pride serves itself. We need to serve others. We need to get this idea that ministry is about us. Ministry is about others. Ministry is about helping this church go out into a lost world as a group and find lost people and bring them to Jesus Christ. Every ministry is geared to getting us out there and building us up as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to serve with long-suffering and forbearing. You see what it says in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, I'll tell you, if we don't serve with the right heart, if we don't have that love of Jesus Christ in our heart, one toward another, we can start rubbing each other the wrong way real quick. in a ministry. Things can go south real quick if we're not just loving each other and putting up with some things with each other until God does some things in the other person's life. We don't have to be pointing it out and getting into any turmoil over things. We just need to serve together and forbearing one another and just putting up with some things, and some long-suffering will go a long way in keeping the ministry at an old church, at Bible Baptist Church, on the right course, you see, serving the Lord. We need to serve for the right reasons. We need to serve for the right reasons. Look in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It pleases God when there's unity in the body. I mean, He just gets excited about that, because that's the unity of the very Spirit of God in each one of us that wants us all to be together, working together, unified. Unity in the body. We're a family, are we not? Amen. We're a family ministry. And we're serving God as a family. And look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know, God has just given grace and grace and grace and grace. And every time we need some more grace, He's there to give it to us. It's a gift of God. And that's what enables each and every one of us to serve God. It's not in our own power. It's by the Spirit of God and by just His love and kindness toward us and the great power and riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can serve the Lord. We serve as a group. We're a team here in this church. We are a team. I really need you to see that we're working together. We're working as a team. And we all have different roles, but we're all on the same team, and we're all trying to get to the same goal, you see. We all have the same goal in mind. It's like a work group, I guess. When you all work together and you have different roles that you do, but you're all working for the company and whatever the company's goal is, you're all striving in the same direction. Well, it's the same thing with us. Even a sports team. There may be, I know more about American football than I do about the other sports. So there's 11 guys on that team and there's 11 guys on the other team, and they're all trying to push and hit each other, and this one wants to get to that goal and this team wants to get to that goal. They're all working together. Individually, they have to do their they have to perform their roles, but they're all trying to score a goal for the team. And there's nobody that gets a special pat on the back, really, and they're in a separate class by themselves. We're all working together here. Even the quarterback on an American football team better thank those big 300 and 400 pounders up front there that are keeping him safe. Even though he gets all the glory when he throws the touchdown pass, it's these big linemen up front that are keeping him safe. They're all working together, you see. So once in a while, he takes them out to dinner and makes sure they realize just how important they are. But how do we serve God? We should serve Him faithfully. We should serve Him honestly. And we should never give up. We should always just keep going forward. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Bible says in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We're just going to keep going. I mean, there's a lot of jumping off places, isn't there? There's a lot of places where you may get upset and you're tired and you just want to just throw up your hands and say, I've had enough. But we don't faint. We just keep going forward. But we can't go forward in our own strength. We have to go forward in the power of God. Be strong in the Lord. You want to be strong in the ministry, but you want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We don't want to faint. We don't want to stop. There literally is too much at stake to stop. We can't. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ didn't faint before the cross? Amen. But He just kept pressing on through the garden and He went to the cross. Well, we have to be like that. We have to just keep pushing forward. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. In verse 25. You know, Barnabas took Paul under his wing there, Saul, and he took him with him, and he encouraged him. And in verse 25, they were doing some ministry at Jerusalem. It says in verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. I'm just trying to show you, they didn't stop. They fulfilled their ministry. They finished their ministry. I want to encourage you, if you're in a ministry, don't stop doing your ministry. Don't faint. Just keep going on. Just keep pressing forward. Just keep doing it, because that's why you're there. You're the eyes and the ears and the feet and the hands of Jesus Christ in that creche or in that Sunday school. You're there because God needs you there. He wants you there. So we need to keep pressing on. And Barnabas and Saul returned when they had fulfilled their ministry. They were busy and they finished the job, and then they returned from Jerusalem. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And in verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. See, it's just the same thing over and over, that thou fulfill it. Be faithful to accomplish what God has given to you, the ministry God has given to you. Don't stop serving God. Keep pressing on. There's just too much at stake. Now go back to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you, again, how we're supposed to serve. We ought to serve with integrity. We ought to have some integrity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 2, look what it says in verse 2. He talks about not fainting in the ministry, but it goes on. See, it's just a semicolon there. The thought goes on. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So we serve with integrity. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We put away anything in our life, or we should be putting away anything in our life that would be shameful or disgraceful to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get our hearts right with God. We need to clean up our lives. Why? Because we want to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. When we serve in the ministry, we should be serving with a clean heart and a clean life. Don't be dishonest in your ministry by hiding things in your heart and thinking God doesn't know about it, and it's okay if I serve the little kids and have all this sin in my life. No, get your life cleaned up. Clean up our hearts. Do things that wouldn't... Don't do anything that would be shameful or disgraceful to the Lord or bring a reproach to the ministry. It says not walking in craftiness. We shouldn't be scheming in some way or being crafty in some way like the devil, trying to scheme to get some kind of notoriety or do things in our own way. There's no deception in the ministry. It should be absolutely open, transparent, nothing but the truth. It should be open. Anyone wants to know about a ministry, they could just come and find out what's going on in that ministry. But that has to be that way in our own hearts before God. We need to be open and honest with God as we serve Him. He wants clean vessels to fill. He wants a clean vessel to fill. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. We certainly don't want to corrupt God's Word, do we? We don't want to try to spoil or corrupt this perfect Word, but rather just submit to it. Just submit to it. Come under it. And let's make sure that we're always promoting God's truths, not our own wisdom, in whatever ministry that we're in. And then we want to commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, serving with integrity, that no one who honestly would look at our lives in whatever ministry we're in, and or in the service or hear the preaching, could bring a reproach upon him. Anything that you're doing in your own personal life should not bring a reproach upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be able to be, any man that observes my life or observes our ministries should be able in his conscience to say, they're doing it right. You know, they're not, they seem to be just good Christian people trying to do the right thing. And that's the way it should be, because we're commending ourselves to every man's conscience. No matter what they should see the right thing in our lives. 2 Corinthians 6:3. Well, we just turn over there one page. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Look what it says. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I think Paul's got an important point he's making there. Nothing in our lives or what we're doing in our ministries should bring any reproach upon the ministry, the very service that we're trying to do, to accomplish, to fulfill. So let's make sure that there's nothing in us, nothing that we're doing in our ministry that's deceitful or dishonest, we serve with integrity. It honors God. It honors the very fact of the ministry that we're doing there, that no matter who sees it, they say, wow, they're doing it right. God is glorified in that ministry. So there's four ministries, as quickly as I can, I want to show you, that every one of us should be involved in. Not tomorrow, you should be involved in them today. In order to go out and do other ministries, we need to be involved in these four ministries right now. And if you're not, you need to start today. Acts chapter 13 and in verse 2. Acts chapter 13 and in verse 2. I want you to remember, if you're not serving the Lord the way you should, if you are not obeying His call on your life, the church is actually hampered. It's hindered. It's like, the body of Christ needs all the members working and doing their part in every ministry. And, if my leg isn't doing what it's supposed to, then I'm going to be limping. I got to drag this leg along. And if this hand isn't doing what it's supposed to, so now I only have my right hand and my right arm. And yeah, I can still walk, I can still go along, but I can't do what I could do if I had two good legs and two good hands. You see what I'm saying? Each and every one of us need to be doing what God's called us to do. Come on now, we're a team, and we're trying to serve the Lord. In chapter 13, verse 2, talk about Barnabas and Saul here at the church in Antioch. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And I just looked at that phrase there, minister to the Lord. You know, it's not just ministry for the Lord, it's ministry to the Lord. I think our first ministry should be to the Lord, just to Him. To Him. Our personal devotion to Jesus Christ is a ministry and a service, something that we should be attending to every day. Every day you have a ministry to the Lord. You know why this church was so wonderful? You know why these men were called out? Because they ministered to the Lord. Amen. They were devoted to God. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why they fasted and they prayed, God, use me. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. These men love God. And they want to do something for God. And every one of us have that same ministry. It's not just Barnabas and Saul. We each have a ministry. And the first ministry is to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. We should have that as our first ministry. That's the starting line in this Christian life. Our ministry starts with our personal devotion to Jesus Christ. You will not be able to serve God to the end, fulfill it with integrity, if you first don't have a ministry to the Lord. If you first don't love Him with all your heart. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Look at Revelation 2, and in verse 2. This is the first church that the Lord Jesus tells us about, Ephesus. And look, I mean, this is a great church. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I mean, this is a good church. They're testing false teachers. They're working, and they have a labor and patience. I mean, they're just going forward. And has borne and has patience. They're just carrying on, you see. For my name's sake, and has labored and has not fainted. They're doing everything right. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, we can just have a great ministry and things are going on, and you might even increase in the church. But you know what? Underneath the surface, Jesus says, you know what? Your heart for me is not there. It's all become just service, and it's all inward, really. And you're not doing it for the right reason. I've become second. I'm outside the door of the church knocking. You're going to let me in to your ministry that you have there? Jesus Christ has to be first. He wants to be first. He deserves to be first. Verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have someone against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. God is our first love, not our calling. God needs to be my first love, not the call to the mission field. God may have never called me to the mission field if he first didn't see somebody who loved God. And he wants to see that you love him. That he's first. He has first place. Then he may want to do something with us. And he will do something with us. God is first. Don't put anything before him. God is first. You have the family, your own family. You have your ministry. You better have a balance there. God's first, but you better have a balance. Not all family and no service. Not all service and no family. There's a balance that needs to be there in our lives. Some of us have put it all on the family. Job, recreation, and no service to God. Some of us put everything into the ministry. And we've forgotten the things that are important to us. Look, there's a balance that needs to be in our life. But I'll tell you what, God's in the middle of it. You know, he's the fulcrum. He has to be the middle of your life, the center of your life. He's our first love. Remember this, someone said, God's duties never conflict. If you're too busy here or too busy there, it's not God's fault. You have somewhere along the line, you've put something before God. Just keep your vision on the Lord. Focus on God. Your first ministry is devotion to him. And he'll set everything else right in your life. Because he has to be first. He has to be first. Don't be too busy in the ministry or whatever you're doing for him. He has to be first. God is not in that. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I hope I can convey something to you here that I saw while reading this passage of Scripture. Our primary ministry is to love God first. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Good question, though he was tempting him. "He said unto him, 'Jesus, what is written in the law? How readest thou?'" I mean, he's asking the lawyer, "Well, what are you reading in the law?" "And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.'" Can you imagine? If you do that, you will have eternal life. Go ahead. Do it. What's the next thing out of his mouth? "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'Who's my neighbor?'" It's funny, he didn't ask about how much he loved God. He asked, "Who is my neighbor?" I guess what I'm saying is, he's asking Jesus about how to inherit eternal life. Being a lawyer, Jesus says, "What does the law say? Tell me how you read it. You know the law." And then this man quotes it verbatim. But can you imagine Jesus asking you a question and you answering it perfectly? He gave him the exact right answer. So Jesus said, "That's right. Do it and live. You will inherit eternal life." Then he said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" He's looking for some wiggle room. He's looking for a way, you see. Some people are not our neighbor, he's saying. Some people don't have to be loved as much as others. You see, he may have gone to the second commandment there to love the neighbor, but let me tell you something. The bar was set a whole lot higher when he said, "We're supposed to love the Lord thy God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength." He knew he couldn't do that, and he knew he wasn't doing that. But he could have inherited eternal life if he could have done both of them. But he said, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then Jesus goes on to tell him about the Good Samaritan, and that the one that had compassion on him, that was his neighbor. That's who saw him, this person that was hurt on the ground there, and he became his neighbor. He showed compassion on him. What I'm saying is, we won't be able to do the ministry unless we have Jesus Christ. We can't do this without him. Our goal is him. We have to love God first in our ministry, in our lives. The bar is set way too high. No one can inherit eternal life by loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, because we can't do it. And we can't do our ministry without putting God first. If we could do it, we wouldn't need Jesus, is what I'm trying to say, I guess. But we need Jesus Christ. And in order for you to do anything for God, you're going to have to love him first and foremost. And then you're going to have to love others just like yourself. Which leads me to my next point. The first one is that you that you our ministry is to the Lord. He has to be first. And the second is we have a ministry to others. Our ministry to others. This should be going on right now. This is not something to look forward to. But if you're not doing it, if you're not ministering to others. But this is something we should be doing right now. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We can't do the ministry without Jesus. We have to love Him first and the best. But then we have to love others like we love ourselves. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, 15. I mean, Paul wanted to send Timothy to this church. Is this the one I'm thinking of here? Yeah, he wanted to send Timothy to the church because he knew that they needed somebody there to help them. And he winds up, look at verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Archaea, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They haven't addicted themselves to the ministry, but in a sense, the ministry of the saints to other people. They have addicted themselves. These are Christians that have devoted themselves to the service of others. That's not some special group. That should be each and every one of us. Some of us do that a whole lot better than others. You know, some of us are just better at always seeing a need and serving others. But that's what each one of us is supposed to be doing. When we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we're supposed to serve others and love them just the way we love ourselves. We help. They're helping in the ministry. They're showing hospitality. They're providing for people's needs. They're always attending and helping. And that helps the ministry. We need to have a ministry to our family, to each other in this room, to the team that's working together. First to God, then to each other. Your second ministry should be to each other. They addicted themselves. You know what that means? They set and arranged in an orderly manner. That means they made plans to serve. They made plans to help a person. But even when it was sprung on them at the last minute, they still were willing to help. But they also set things in order. You know, I think I can watch that person's kids, or I think I can help them with a meal, or whatever it is. I can go visit them in the hospital. I can help them with their Sunday school material. I don't know. There's so many different ways that we can just serve each other and help each other in the ministry. But it's predetermined. It has the idea of, in advance, making plans to help other people. You know, there's people that are really good at that. They really have a heart to serve other people and help them in their needs. We need to set ourselves up to voluntarily be ready to minister to each other. That's what's going to keep us bound to each other. That's what's going to make the ties greater between us when we help each other and show our love one toward another. That's one of the ministries that we need to watch in our lives. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hey, the Bible just tells us over and over and over again that this is important in our lives. We better be watching out for each other. We better be helping each other because God says we need to minister and serve each other. In Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 9, talking about moving on past just being saved and move on and do some more things for the Lord and by faith. And then there's some that fall away, it talks about in the next verses. But look at verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you, do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. God says this is important. You know, Paul's telling us here that God says this is important. He is not unrighteous. He won't forget what you do for others. God is never going to forget to reward you in the end for something you do for someone else. But the right motive and the right heart of love toward others that are working together here in the ministry at Bible Baptist Church. He says, ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Just being an encouragement to each other. It says that these go arm in arm. That means they accompany each other. Kathy, can you come up here a minute? I mean, if I was we're married, right? And so now we're allowed to accompany each other. We go arm in arm, right? We're made for each other. You won't see me without her, and you won't see her without me, right? Right. You see, because we accompany each other. We go together. The same thing with salvation and then service. And part of our service is that accompanies your salvation is to serve and be with each other. It is to help each other. I'm telling you, this is an important ministry. This is what binds the church together. Individually, our devotion to God, but then our devotion and love to each other binds us together. The longer I'm here, the more I get to know people and serve them, and I watch people serve and meet my needs to each other. Guess what? You're part of my family. We become more and more closer together. We become more and more family. Look, you serve God when you serve others. You serve God when you serve others. We have to all have the same diligence to do this. That's what the verse says. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. So it's not just for some who have the gift of encouragement and they're just good at meeting needs. I have to learn that. I'm learning how to serve people better. And I have a great example to watch. Not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's some in here that I watch and I see them, how they serve. And I'm learning. I want to learn how to serve people better than the way I'm doing it now. But you do it in your ministry. You do it in the Sunday school. You do it in the creche. You do it in the choir. You do it teaching. You do it preaching. You do it in discipleship. Every time you come together, the coffee and tea ministry, the Bible clubs, the RU, praying for each other, meals, a listening ear, a helping hand, picking people up. All of that is part of the ministry of loving each other and ministering to the saints. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Here's one where the church really needs to get a full grasp of this, praying for each other. I wonder if you have one person that always seems to come up in your prayers that you've been praying for a long time. And there may be several. There may be several. But I know there's one little boy, there's a man, there's people in my family. They come up all the time in the prayers, and people in the church. And you're helping. You're serving them by intercessory prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It's actually part of the armor. It's a help. And it's praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That just blew me away. All the armor of God and the Word of God is our sword. But then we're praying. We're praying for each other. We're praying for each other as we minister to each other. I'm telling you, intercessory prayer, praying for one another, not only binds our hearts together, but it empowers us for the ministry. When you're in that creche that Sunday morning and you just feel like you're having a great time, maybe somebody was praying for you the night before. You get up and preach and you feel the power of God and you feel like things are just, God's just working through the message. Somebody's been praying for you. You go and work in a Bible club, or you go into your Sunday school class, whatever you're doing for God, somebody may have prayed for you. That power came because somebody ministered to the saints. We need this ministry. It helps. You see a need, you meet a need, you help each other. Philippians chapter 2. Just go to the right there, one book. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 24. I want to be an Epaphroditus servant. I want to be like Epaphroditus. Look at verse 24. Again, he wanted to send. He's in jail and he wanted to send Timothy. But he said he could find no one that was like-minded. So in verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. I mean, Paul's hoping to come. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger. And he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. He says, I'm going to send to you Epaphroditus. Boy, he took care of me. And he wants to so much come and take care of you. He wants to meet your needs, and he has a message for you. I want to be an Epaphroditus, servant of God. He longed after you all with full of heaviness. In fact, he served so much it actually caused a sickness to come on him. He got sick, and Paul had not only the sorrow of not being able to get to the church, but now he has the sorrow of his brother going down in sickness. He said, but he's well, he's better now, and I'm going to send him to you. He helped me, Paul says. He ministered to my wants, and he can minister to you, and he wants to meet your needs. This is the man, Epaphroditus. I want to be an Epaphroditus kind of servant. He served in Paul's absence. And maybe there's a ministry that needs a spot filled. A lot of times, you know we can go to certain people on Sunday morning at the last minute, and they're just, yep.
Amen.
I asked Bozzy this morning, Bozzy, would you speak? Yep. I mean, it wasn't like, well, what do I say? He just went, yeah. Amen. Yeah, Brother Dan. I went, it's like I knew who to call to. I mean, he's shown a willing spirit. That doesn't mean there's dozens more of you that would have also said, yeah. But I just called Bozzy, and he, yep. It's just ministering, see. You know somebody like that. You know somebody that you can depend on. They're faithful. They're ministers. Someone who just loves to care for others. This is a valuable ministry. So we have a ministry to God. We have a ministry to each other. But then we have another ministry in Acts chapter 6. Turn to Acts chapter 6 and look at verse 4. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. It says this, the apostle speaking, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's our next ministry, the ministry of the word. Now you could say, well, that's just for the preacher, that's just for the Sunday school teacher. But specifically that's what it's talking about, that they chose deacons out who could serve in the church and do other things and be a servant while they simply minister to the word of God and prayer. But you know what? That's a ministry for each and every one of us. Because we're going to drop the ball if we're not in this book. We're not going to be able to love God. You're not going to be able to love others. And you're not going to be able to do anything for God unless you have a ministry in the word of God. These are ministries that should be going on right now in our lives. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, right? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is just not for the preacher and the teacher and some special class of people in the church. This is for everybody. We all should have a ministry in the word of God. We should see this ministry in our lives. Every day, praying, devotion to God, helping others, but in the word of God. Every day, knowing God, finding out who God is. His requirements on us to serve Him. It's a ministry. It's something that we attend to every single day. Personal time with God. How are we going to learn? How are we going to grow unless we get into the book? You will shrink, right? If you're not in your Bible. But if you're in your Bible, you'll grow. Why? So you can serve God. You put this book aside and take a diet from it, you will get scrawny and weak and die. But if you read this book and have a healthy diet of the Word of God, you'll be able to serve others and certainly be able to have a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the ministries you should be involved in every day. Imagine with me for a minute, a ministry where we all knew our Bible the way we should. I'm not saying more than the next person, but as much as we should. Everybody growing. Different levels maybe, but everybody growing. Everybody knowing their Bible the way they should. Now just imagine, we all now know our Bible as much as we should. We're putting the time in and trying to grow as Christians. Now imagine that ministry where we all loved God the way we should. Because the Bible says if we all love God the way we should, then if you love me, keep my commandments. I love you, Lord. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. your Bible, and I never have any. I never obey what I do know in my life. I just do what I want to do. How can God accomplish anything in the church unless we're in our Bibles and we're devoted completely to Him and show that devotion by obeying Him, by obeying the commandments? Can you imagine what would be accomplished if we all knew our Bible the way we should and we all loved God the way we should? Can you imagine now what God could do? We all have a ways to go, don't we? We all have a ways to go. Hey, we all knew what God expected, and then we loved Him so much that we obeyed Him, each and every one of us. It's just like a family of children just wanting to please their father. We just love Him so much, we just want to do something for God, our Father. So in order to be a more effective servant, we need to have a personal ministry in the Word of God. And now the last one is our ministry of reconciliation. Turn to 2 Corinthians, our memory verse, 2 Corinthians 5:18. Devotion to God, ministering to each other, ministry in the Word, and then we have the ministry of reconciliation. These are all should be happening right now in our life. Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." He has given to just the pastor the ministry of reconciliation. Is that true?
No.
He has given to just the teachers in the Sunday school the ministry of reconciliation. He has given to just those that make a trip down on Saturday to go out soul winning the ministry of reconciliation. Every blood-bought, born-again Christian in here today has the ministry of reconciliation. Only you can reach some people I will never see. I will never be as close to meeting that need of reconciling them to God through Jesus Christ. We all have this ministry. To reconcile means to bring two opposing parties back in favor with each other. And God is the one that initiates that reconciling. The work of reconciliation is that Jesus Christ made an atonement for sin. Hold your finger here, but go back to Romans chapter 5, just so you understand what this ministry is. What God is actually doing, He is spanning such a great gulf that our sin has produced. Before I got saved, I was the enemy of God. I was at enmity with God. And He took the initiative to span that gulf with the cross, with Jesus Christ, His own Son. And it says in verse 10, Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled," brought back into favor with God, "to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." If we were brought back into favor with God by His death on the cross, imagine how much more can be done, reconciliation, by His life, by the very resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to see that we have that ministry of bringing people to God through Jesus Christ. We have that ministry. Every one of us can serve God by telling others about Jesus Christ, who is the one that can reconcile lost sinners to God. It's an amazing ministry. In John 14:19, let me read it. "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall also live." We can show people how to have eternal life, right? From enemies, reconcile back to God, and then have eternal life through Jesus Christ, who can be their Lord. God, through His Son, made peace with us who were the guilty party. We were the guilty party. The people out there that are lost are guilty. They're sinners, just like we are. And they need to be reconciled to God. And we have that ministry. If we're not doing that ministry, then those people are lost and going to hell. And it's because we haven't at least given them the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That ought to make us think how many times we've said, "No, I'll not hand out a tract. No, I will not say a word about my Christianity. No, I don't want anybody asking me about how to be saved. I'm not going to tell them, then you've shirked your duty as a minister, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Hey, how many people are on this planet? I checked. We're just under 7 billion. We're just under 7 billion. How many are lost, dying sinners? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Well, we'll finish up here in just a minute, but I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." 7 billion people. I don't know, what is a few? Is it 1%? Is it 5%? 10%? I know, I can't put a number on it. I don't know. He just says a few. But just 10%, I want you to think about it. If 10%, that's a few, I would say. If just 10%, that means 700 million people might be saved. That leaves 6.3 billion lost people. 6.3 billion. So when you go into the Ballincollig Shopping Center and you walk around and you see maybe 100 people, I wouldn't even guess there would be 10 people that would be saved. 10% is really a pretty big number. It's just a few. It's a narrow way, you see. I am the way. People can't come into that little funnel saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's so small, that gate. It's so narrow, that gate. If they only knew, if they entered in that gate, how big and wide that Christian life is, what it is, what a glory it is to be saved and be free from all your sin. How many can I reach personally? Think about it. How many can I reach personally? I could reach hundreds of people. I could literally reach hundreds of people. How many can I reach through my church and the outreach of this church? Thousands. Thousands. Together as a church, we could reach thousands. How many can I reach through missions, through this church? Millions. Literally millions of people could be reached through missions in this church. But it starts with our own personal responsibility to reconcile people to Jesus Christ, to God. We're to make disciples. We're to multiply ourselves, not just keep adding saved sinners. We're to multiply ourselves, make disciples out of them so they can go out and minister and serve and reconcile others to Jesus Christ. It's not just adding, it's multiplying. We can make a difference. Let me just finish up. Verse 14, back in 2 Corinthians. We'll finish up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. These few verses. In verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." So His love for us and His love for this lost world is what should compel us and urge us to go and be reconcilers. Help people know Christ as their Savior. This is what presses us really into the battle for souls. That Jesus loves you, this I know. The Bible tells me. So, He loves you, but He also loves that world. And the only way they can know is to come to the cross. They have to come where Christ showed His love, at the cross. And we have to do that. We have to reconcile them to God. We understand that by that compelling love that we are to forsake our will and our lives and do His will. Verse 15 says, "And that He died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." My friend, you ought to know that your life is not your own. Your life is in the hand of God, in the hand of the Lord Jesus. And He's the ruler, and He's the Lord of our life. And this is His life. He died for all. And we shouldn't live for ourselves anymore, but we should be living for Him. This is an important ministry that we should be undertaking today. It's a ministry to sinners. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are you a new creature today? Raise your hand. Are you a new creature today? I hope you are. I saw something raise their hand, and I thought they was. All right. Raise two hands. You're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have the ministry of reconciliation. Me. I can now tell other people how they can be brought back into favor with God, like Lily was saying, brought back into favor with God. Come on. We should be involved in the new life of Christ, the ministry that He's given us. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have all the tools. Don't say you can't go out and tell people about Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God, all the power of the universe, is inside your heart. He lives with you. You just aren't yielding to Him. You want to do it your way. You want to live the way you want to live. And you shut your mouth and you tell God, no! But if you just said, yes, Lord, I want to do your will, He will fill you with a power and He will use you to reconcile people to Jesus Christ. And you have a perfect, incorruptible seed to put into their heart, amen, the Word of God. We have all the tools that we need. My friend, you got two legs. You walked in here this morning. You have a mouth and eyes. You can see people. You can talk to them. You can walk. Some people are doing more in a wheelchair than some of us are doing with two good legs. Because we've decided we're not going to yield to God. It's a ministry. Verse 19, we have the tools. And verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You ought to realize God has a ministry for you. We're to do His work. We're ambassadors for Him. We take His name wherever we go. This is one of the greatest ministries we have as individuals in this church. So our ministry. The work's great. It's an enormous amount of work that needs to be done. But it's a great work, isn't it? And we serve a great God. He is the King of Kings. We should find it a privilege. So number one, our first and most important ministry is to the Lord. It's a devotion, our devotion to Him. It starts there, man. That's the starting line. And then our ministry to the saints, to each other. We operate like a family, caring and loving each other, binding our hearts together. Then there's the ministry in the Word of God. That's preparation. That's going to help us to learn and grow together and obey. And then there's the ministry of reconciliation, bringing other people to God through Jesus Christ. Those are four great ministries that should be in our lives today. Amen. Today, if they're not, come on. Find out which one you're not doing, and if there's more than one, and start doing it. Start doing it. Here's a quote. Many Christians estimate difficulties in light of their own resources, and thus attempt little and often fail in the little they attempt. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and presence with them. Amen. J. Hudson Taylor. China Inland Missions. I mean, what did he do for God? It was God that did it through J. Hudson Taylor. Let's never forget that the greatest power for service is what? The Holy Spirit that is in us. We need to rely upon Him and we need to yield to Him. So we as a church family have a ministry. It's our ministry. It's our ministry. Let's run the race. Let's finish the course with joy. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, that we have a ministry together as a family. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you take a simple message and apply it to the hearts of the people that are here. Help us as servants of God, to know that these four ministries ought to be in our lives, in my life today. And as we realize that and we begin to obey these four simple ministries and start to serve you, Lord, and love you and others and be in our Bible every day and begin to tell people about Christ, that you even have more for us to do. You have great work for us to do, not just individually, but as a family, as a church family. This is our ministry at Bible Baptist Church. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would apply this message to each one of our hearts as you would see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. difficult seeing.